Have you ever wondered if there was some way to unlock the Bible mysteries? Well, there are Bible keys that can do that. Jesus said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." The disciples of Christ were the babes to whom Jesus was revealing the mysteries that are mentioned in the Scriptures. Jesus also told his disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Now Jesus spoke in parables to the multitudes because his job was to work mainly with a few disciples to lay a foundation in their minds. Later, after Pentecost, they could go out and give the understanding of the mysteries to others. Mysteries are deep secrets, ideas that a person doesn't necessarily understand until the understanding is revealed. Once revealed, it's no longer a mystery. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:2, "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries." Now that shows that someone could understand the mysteries. The Apostle Paul knew and understood the mysteries. He was asking the Colossians and Ephesians to pray for utterance for him so that he could speak the words of the gospel to others and make the mysteries known to them also. Paul was a minister of the mysteries that was contained in the Word of God. That's why he said, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Paul said it had been hidden, but now was being revealed to people because the understanding was there. They had the keys. Paul also writes in Ephesians 3:9, "to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Again, Paul's job was to speak out the mystery so that there would be a fellowship among those that would accept them, the ones that would get Christ in their minds. He describes Christ's ministers as faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. There are actually two major categories of mysteries mentioned in the Scriptures: the mystery of godliness, read that in 1 Timothy 3:16, and the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. The mystery of godliness reveals how we can get God in our minds. The mystery of iniquity reveals what is keeping us from being like God. To become holy like God, we first need to understand the mystery of iniquity. We need to have the evil in our mind revealed so that we can get it out. Then, just as you would use a physical key to unlock a physical door, there are keys of knowledge that are contained in the Scriptures in themselves that can unlock the mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. Jesus said in Matthew 13:11, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Jesus went on to explain several of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13th chapter. He used physical examples of things that they could relate to easily. The Bible tells us that there are invisible things of God that we can understand by the visible things that he made. Read that key in Romans 1:20. We're even able to understand God's power and Godhead. Jesus told Nicodemus, "No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Jesus said that in John 3:13. Jesus was on earth talking to Nicodemus, but he said that he was in heaven. So heaven isn't a literal place off in the atmosphere somewhere. The Ephesians were also a group of people on earth, and yet they were sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They were not lifted up from the surface of the globe sitting in the sky, but this key scripture shows that heaven is a condition in the mind. How about another key scripture that unlocks the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Let's go to Romans 14:17. It says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Natural things like meat and drink are excluded from the kingdom of God. Spiritual things like righteousness, peace, and joy are included in the kingdom. Another key, Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is not observable with physical eyes because it's not a physical kingdom. It's spiritual within you. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom." There were keys that let people into the kingdom in their mind. Jesus also told the lawyers, Luke 11:52, "Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge." Jesus was using a physical thing to represent something spiritual. Just as it takes physical keys to unlock physical doors, it takes spiritual keys or knowledge to unlock the spiritual meaning of the Scriptures. The keys Jesus gave Peter were keys of knowledge to unlock the meaning of the Scriptures so that they were no longer a mystery to Peter. Jesus used a key to unlock the meaning of a parable about a sower sowing seeds. Luke 8:11, he said, "The parable is this, the seed is the word of God." This key shows that the seed is symbolic of word. Words are like seeds being sown into the earth of our mind. Another key, Jeremiah 22:29, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." Now the globe doesn't have ears to hear. So it would be people's minds that need to have God's words planted into them. So the earth is symbolic of the mind. We see that Peter accepted the key given to him by Jesus because later he writes in 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So Peter's teaching is consistent with Jesus' teaching that the seed is the word of God, and we plant seeds or words into our mind, which is symbolized by earth. Another example is the key that stone equals entity. Jesus said in Matthew 21:42, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Jesus was referring to himself as a stone or an entity whose message was being rejected by the builders, the religious leaders who were supposed to build a kingdom within people's minds. This was prophesied in the Old Testament in Psalm 118. John the Baptist said to the religious leaders, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." No natural stones could be raised up as children, but when the Jews rejected Jesus' message, God could present it to the Gentiles. Previously, they had no words of life, but now they could accept the message that and they could be raised up as children unto Abraham because they had faith like Abraham had. Peter also gave us the key in 1 Peter 2:5. He called people lively stones. Other disciples were given keys as well. John used the key on stone in Revelation 2, verse 17. This shows that an overcomer is given a white stone. In other words, he becomes a soul that has no sin. The key that shows white is free from sin is in Isaiah 1:18. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Well, what about a rock? In Matthew 16:18, a key for a rock is given in 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 and 33. There it says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God?" So there we see that a rock is symbolic of God. So when Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church," Jesus was talking about the portion of God that Peter had within his mind. Jesus had just asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter is the one that answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The witness Peter got was a piece of the rock being God, because it was a truth revealed to him from the rock, God Almighty. How will Jesus build his church on the rock? A witness? The church isn't a natural church building, it's a spiritual house, as Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5. When the writers of the New Testament wrote to the churches of Galatia, they weren't writing to church buildings, they were writing to people's minds. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" When one gets the witness from God, as Peter did, this is the anointing of God working through a vessel. Then there's a foundation within that mind that God's church can be built on. God can give a witness, witness after witness, witness after witness, to help that person build a church for God to dwell in. Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 7 about a wise man who built his house upon a rock. This was a spiritual house within the man's mind. It was built on God's witness. The foolish man in the same parable built his house on the sand. Sand is shifty and unstable because it gets washed away easily by weathering of winds and rains. Great was the fall of it. This is what happens to us in the spirit realm if we try to build a spiritual house on man's changeable ideas and opinions, rather than on God's rock-solid witness. Let's go back to Matthew 16:18. It also says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, if hell is a literal place, gates of hell would also be literal, physical. Now, how could literal gates prevail or fight against a church? That's nonsense. Therefore, the gates must be spiritual. There's a key in Psalm 24, verse 7 and 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Now literal heads don't have heads. Literal gates, rather, don't have heads. So the gates in Matthew 16, 18 must be people, specifically ministers, that would lead people into a condition of hell by teaching them lies. So gates are symbolic of ministers. That's the key. A true minister would be leading people into a heavenly condition within their mind. A false minister would be leading people into a hell condition. Well, we saw that there are keys of knowledge to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There are also keys of knowledge to unlock the mysteries of the devil's kingdom, which would be hell within our mind. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Now, death is not a literal place. It's a condition. So to be consistent, hell is not a literal place. It's also a condition of our minds when we're in torment. Jonah was in hell while he was alive in a whale's belly in the Mediterranean Sea. He was in torment in his mind because he had disobeyed God. Matthew 9:43-48 mentions a hellfire condition where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Hebrews 12:29 shows God to be a consuming fire. What would God be doing in hell? Why would a worm not die in a burning fiery hell? Well, the answer is, hey, this is another parable. Fire equals God's word, as we had in Jeremiah 23:29. Worms picture sin. The word crimson in Isaiah 1:18 that we read before could have been translated worm. Though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. These scriptures show sin are red like crimson, or worms. So worms are symbolic of sin. If we have some of God's word, which would be the fire, in our minds, and we also have some sin in our lives, which would be the worm, then we're in a hell fire condition because we know the truth and we're not obedient to it, just like Jonah. In that condition, God's word in our mind is eternal, so it won't be quenched, neither will the evil spirit die until we cast it out. We need the keys to hell and death so that we can understand why we end up doing the things we don't want to do, and why we don't do things that we do want to do. One key to help this answer is Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is sin. This shows sin is in the thoughts, respect of persons, doubt, unrighteousness. These are all thoughts that are called sin in the scriptures. This is the kind of information we need to help unlock the mystery of iniquity in our minds. So, the mystery of godliness is revealed by the keys of knowledge that teach us how to get heaven within our minds. Likewise, the mystery of iniquity can be revealed through the keys of hell and of death. There are many more keys that are given in the Bible. These keys are given to help us stop sinning, to help us get out of hell, and so that we never have to die anymore. Maybe you've dreamed of studying the Bible, getting line on line, as it tells us in Isaiah. Maybe you've dreamed of being able to live without certain sins within your mind. Well, the word church is a ministry of understanding. It's possible for these things to come to pass within your life.